Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Love it though.
Cause I creep, yeah, such a classic. Oh, R.I.P. Lisa Left Eye. They had some serious tunes, didn't they? Favorite
they really
TLC
did.
Song, Don't Overthink It, Go. The cogs are whirling, and I specifically told you, do not engage brain.
What does your gut tell you? I think Scrubs back in the day. But the reason why the cogs started going was because I remember a girl in sixth class had the album, and I thought it was a bit risky because it was Crazy Sexy Cool. And I thought it was a bit risque to bring in an album with sexy on it in sixth class. So, do you know what I mean?
But that was just you and your altar. Your homemade altar in the gaff.
My homemade altar, yeah. I think my mum was pretty worried about that one. But
I know I have asked you this before, but did you take the pledge? You did.
I did take the pledge. I wanted to take, now by that stage, I don't know what happened. I think sixth class was a fruitful year for me. But when the pledge came around, I wanted to take it to 16. And my dad wouldn't let me. He said I had to take it to 18. I thought that was a bit strict. And
Jimmy, pick your battles. Come on.
Mr. Chimney himself. And then I think after the confirmation, like my memory of it is it was on the day, and that feels a bit weird, but it probably was on the day. Me and Isabel went off for a smoke on the day to like break the pledge.
Well, it's a lot of pressure. The confirmation.
Yeah, but just
day.
To get it
that fag. Yeah. So that it wasn't hanging over you.
Yeah. We just got it out of the way. Oh, and you know, we didn't even go that far. We just went a couple of doors down from our house. There was kind of like there was a corner, you know, there was the corner. See, there wasn't really a corner house. There was the end house, and then there was a corner, and then there was like these little kind of mini apartments. So we just kind of dipped in there to one of the bushes and had a smoke.
I can just imagine the rings of smoke billowing above the hedge.
Well, I was smoking for a good while before I could actually inhale. Like when I think about it now, it's pretty bad. I think I was like well into, now I didn't start smoking in sixth class, I remember in first year, a few people were smoking. I was like, oh no, I don't want to get addicted. And then I started getting the smokes into me. And then a girl told me, Fiona Dempsey, who were walking out of school one day, and she's like, asking for a drag or an end or whatever, and she's like, you're not even inhaling. I was like, I am inhaling.
That was always such a stinger.
I thought I was, because it was coming out of my nose, but I wasn't inhaling. So I went up to the attic later that day and had a smoke out the window, and I discovered indeed I was not inhaling, and I inhaled for the first time, and I remember like gave me like the rush.
I know, because this is ground we have covered before, but I was never into the smoking because my parents were such big smokers. I did give it a go a couple of times, but like all that stuff where I'd like light the fag the wrong way around, like there was no inhaling, would set fire to my feet a jumper, etc., etc. So it was just, it was never a good look for me. I think I just could not pull it off.
It's like, now you see, I've never had a pint of Guinness. Because I haven't had the the commitment to stay with that. Because then I remember, I remember somebody's mom telling us that when they started drinking Guinness, they used to get a glass of Guinness with blackcurrant.
Yeah, your blackcurrant.
And that's how you'd ease yourself into the Guinness. And then you kind of gradually progress to just having the pint of Guinness, and that's all it was. So I was like, that sounds like a lot of effort for me. I'm just going to stick with my peach snaps. Although obviously I had to later give up peach snaps because...
You like your teeth.
Once you puke from peach snaps, you never go back. I've never had a pint of Guinness. I've only had cans in like dire moments when there was nothing left. And I was absolutely...
First thing in the morning when you've got that thirst.
It's just, it's...
I'll never forget.
I'm not interested in the pint of Guinness now, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say I'm a Guinness kind of... but I have drank a pint on occasion and enjoyed it. But it definitely is an acquired taste for sure. Because, you know, it's neither salad nor liquid. It's somewhere in the middle. It's a strange one.
Big news on the Munchie Box front.
Hit me.
So I was out and I asked Ella if she'd ring to order the Munchie Box and whatever she was getting. Grand. Come back to the gaff. The Munchie Box arrives and it's different. It's in a different box and the curry sauce is not in the Munchie Box. Okay, it's separate. And I open it up and this time now the Munchie Box has peppers in it. I don't like when this happens because you get into a groove with something and then you open it up and you're like, they're after changing the whole fucking game here. Still, like, it was still nice, but it wasn't how it had been before previously, okay? And I was a little bit disappointed. And then Ella told me that my Munchie Box was $15.50. And I was like, $15.50? I was like, it's $9.50 or $10. I was like, $15.50. I was like, that's a bit of a stretch. I was like, they're after charging me a fiver for it's not as full and they're after throwing in green peppers. I'm not fucking having this. So the next day, I said to Shane, I said, I think I'm finished with the Munchie Boxes now. It wasn't up to scratch at all. And he looked into it and they gave us a new flyer. So I was like, oh, they're doing the whole...
Ella.
It was on the same road, but it wasn't the same place. One was number one was number 20. So they're obviously rival Chineses on the same road. And... that's what happened. And I said it to her and she's like, yeah, looks like it. She was giving me cheek.
Look, do you know what?
You better not start giving me cheek.
To happen one of these days.
She's going to be 18 in a few weeks. It's not the time to start giving me cheek because if she starts giving me cheek when she's 18, there's not much I can do about it. My dad was a big one on cheek. Is your dad a big one on cheek? Yeah, 18.
What do you mean a big one on cheek? A fan of? Or somebody just who dissuaded you from cheek?
Yeah, constantly calling me out on cheek, even if you weren't being cheeky. I really don't feel like I know what cheek is because he'd ask you a question, right? And you just say, I don't know. I said, stop being cheeky. I actually don't know. Like, I'm not even making this up. So he would tell you to stop being cheeky if you were being cheeky, if you weren't being cheeky. Answering a question was cheeky. Not answering the question was being cheeky. There was a lot of, there's a lot of times where supposedly I was given a look.
Oh, well, now, come here. Okay, can we just talk about the look? Because honestly, over the past week in this house, the looks have instigated a lot of problems. Face has instigated a lot of problems because I'm throwing the looks left, right and centre.
But are you throwing the looks?
And to be fair, I am. And then I deny
that's
all.
That's different. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's
no, different. I'm 100% throwing a look.
What are you throwing the looks
and
about?
Then,
everything.
You know yourself. Everything. Did you use that scrubber, did you, for the Worked out. Okay. Yeah, just to be, and you put the milk in the fridge. Okay, interesting. Okay. Like a lot of kind of loaded responses for me. But you see, I'm sneaky about it because I don't say too much either. I say just enough to stir the pot, but not enough that I can't actually deny all. But yeah, I think the cheeky in my gaff, I'll completely confess to this. I was a very cheeky teenager, very, very cheeky indeed. So I think you've done well now to get to 18 and have the lovely Ella. And only now she's starting to get a little teeny bit of cheek. Just a teensy bit.
But was your dad calling you out on your cheek? That's what I'm asking.
Was dad? I'm trying to think. I would say no. I mean, most of the cheek, I am every cliche going, most of the cheek was probably directed at my mother, if I'm being honest.
Oh, okay. A lot of cheek to your mum.
A lot of cheek giving your mom directed the cheek. At mum. Well, you see, remember, dad was carrying a gun. So you limited your cheek to him. Mm-hmm. He was armed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, no, mom didn't have a tough time with me. I wasn't the best teenager. I know you'd find that so hard to believe, Emma, but it is the truth.
But you were good in school, though. That must have been good for the parents.
Well, yeah, I was good enough in I was good in school.
But that's pretty good.
I mean, when I say I would have been chatty and stuff, like I wouldn't have been given cheek to the teachers now or anything. I saved that for the poor people who had to live with me.
I don't know. I probably would have been cheekier to teachers, actually. Because it's just like, peace out.
Well, you see, that's probably...
Because I don't have to deal with it. I have to live with...
You were a nicer person.
Well, I was just smart. I don't have to live with my teachers. It's a 45-minute class.
Are you calling me thick? Is that what you're calling? Okay. Come here. What did you see? Did you see now? Let's kick off. Ooh, up to 90. Mm-hmm. You saw Laura Whitmore got into Spot a Bother at the weekend.
I did. She was fairly active, wasn't she? Fairly active. She shared.
So Laura Whitmore is an Irish TV presenter.
She is. And she has recently had a baby with her partner Ian Sterling. Yes.
Yeah.
And how old is the baby?
Now, hang on, Mrs. Is the intro? I'm just going to pause this here. Sorry, 2 seconds, Mrs. I'm just going to pause this here and move the internet down. Is the signal a bit bad? So, Laura Whitmore.
Yes. She had a baby a few weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, something like that.
Maybe 6 weeks ago, yeah.
And she shared an email that she'd received, her agent had received from a journalist in the Irish Daily Mail.
Yes.
Saying that they were running a story on Sunday. Sources had said that the name of the child and would she basically was just a very polite email, just like, we're running the story, and just if you wanted to get in on it or whatever. So mm-hmm. She shared that on Twitter, and I think, well, the majority of people that I saw were kind of telling her to cop on.
Yeah, I think it very much backfired on her, for sure.
And then did you see what she put up yesterday?
No, I didn't.
So yesterday. So
actually, I'll just read out just in case for anyone who didn't see it. So she put up, the email that appeared. So it said, "Hi, Alex, the name of Laura's agent, bleep, name of journalist here. By way of introduction, I am blah, blah, blah. I'm dropping you a mail regarding Laura Whitmore. We've been told by a number of sources that Laura and Ian have named their daughter Stevie Sterling, a nod to Stevie Nicks. It's a lovely name and very fitting. We are planning to publish this tomorrow, and we would love to include a few lines from Laura and Ian as to how they settled on the name for Stevie for their baby girl." So the initial tweet then from Laura which appeared over the weekend was vile. My agent received the below email, insert name of journalist here. I'm sure you have better, more pressing things to write about than guessing a child's name and pressuring someone to talk about it either way. I'll talk about my child on my terms when I choose. So she didn't hold back, but I think it did kind of backfire in that the response was overwhelmingly that her reaction to this was excessive. And I think people particularly took issue with the word vile. You know, and some people did point out that she actually initially did start out doing celebrity news and all the rest, and you know, was there a bit of hypocrisy there, blah blah blah. But she came back with another tweet, which I didn't realize, Emma. What did that say?
Yeah, so she said, the Daily Mail printed pictures a photographer took of me with my baby outside my home without consent or my knowledge a week after I gave birth and announced I had a baby. When I wouldn't comment on my wedding after my management received emails, the Sun got and printed my marriage certificate. I didn't even have a copy at that stage, and announced my marriage before I told people myself. It's intrusive. 5 years ago, the same two papers printed a picture a photographer took up my skirt. It was horrible and embarrassing. This was before the upskirting bill was brought in. I will continue to call individuals out and not sit quietly and accept it as part of the job. We all have a choice over our own lives. So that's what she came out and said about it yesterday. So I think, apart from like the very black and white opinions about it, I think a lot of people were saying, fine, but you didn't have to name the journalist who was literally doing her job. She's quite recently done spreads with the Mail on Sunday herself. So she has a major problem with that newspaper. I wouldn't be doing spreads with them.
Yeah. A lot of people did point that out as well. Yeah. It kind of makes her reaction a little bit problematic, but because Emma, go on there, Mrs. Sorry.
I was just going to say, because they also had a Instagram page set up for the baby. So obviously it was
is this true? I saw this summer, but is this actually true, Emma?
I think so, because there was a picture of it, and you could, if people, you know, the way you can see, it's a private page and it's not following anyone, but it has followers. And one of the followers was actually Owen McDermott, who she was obviously mates with. So it looks like they set up an Instagram page for like friends and family. I mean, I think that's the most, you know, I mean, I know not guilty by association, but okay. But now, if I wanted to keep something, I think like a baby name, obviously, look.
Can I ask, is the Instagram account, sorry to jump in here, but is it in the name of, is it Stevie Sterling or is it like Baby Sterling?
I think it's Stevie Sterling. And it has Baby Yoda as the profile pic.
I mean, you wouldn't
one probably just did a bit of digging on their Instagrams.
But that's what I'm saying.
They were following.
Look, sorry now, you wouldn't need to be Johnny Johnson, ministerial driver, armed with a gun, to work out that the child then was called Stevie Sterling. So she just did, we're not even talking down the rabbit hole, as you say, just did a little bit of a dig.
That's, I mean, you can't punish this journalist who she named, I can't even remember your one's name, was it Neve or something? You can't really blame her for, you know, things that previous photographers or journalists have done in the past. If you have a major problem with one newspaper or whatever, which I could totally understand how somebody would, just don't deal with that newspaper at all. Don't kind of do spreads with them 1 week and then next week kind of, you know, talk about somebody being vile who went through the correct channels and all the rest of it. Like, your one is just trying to write a fucking story.
Yeah.
She's not asking her menstrual cycle or whatever. Like, usually when babies are born, we get the name of the baby and the gender of the baby, and that's pretty much it. If you've done pregnancy photo shoots, like for people to ask a follow-up question of, so what did you call the baby?
Well,
I mean, it's not that big of a deal. If there had been a completely private pregnancy, like nobody knew about it, or it was a surrogate and nobody knew about it, and it was major hush, 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 or you'd never, now I know she's posted pictures of her baby, but has hidden the baby's face grand, but like, you don't even need to post pictures at all if you don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
So for you to post your pregnancy bump and then to post a picture of you with then baby, now it's born, for a journalist to ask what's the baby's name, I don't really think that's a big deal. If you're walking through Holles Street, fucking out to the car when you're leaving, people are going to ask you what you call her. What you call them.
I think it's a tough one in terms of, you know, keeping the cat in the bag. Like, realistically, your colleagues, I presume you're going to share with them what you call the baby. Like, I'd imagine it kind of got me thinking, is it not a very difficult one to keep hush hush, the name of the baby? And I can understand why you don't want the name out there in the ether to an extent. But again, I suppose what people found problematic was, you know, I guess if you are kind of doing the pregnancy shoots, etc., of course it doesn't automatically give people right to details that you don't want to share. However, it does kind of encourage an interest, and as you say, Emma, it does also encourage kind of a follow-up question. Oh, so what did you have? What did you call them? Etc., etc. You know, like it's a little bit problematic, and I totally do get people having bad relationships with certain publications, because a lot of them are like, hello, clearly like gross, like we all agree with that. But I think in this instance, most of us kind of felt that, okay, is this not kind of the nature of the beast though? Because I don't know much about media, but you know, it felt kind of, it was worded fairly politely, it was sent to the person's agent, and I think the main thing people took issue with, the word vile seemed a little bit excessive based on the email that was shared. And ultimately, I kind of think there was no need to use the woman's name. And that seemed to be the thread throughout, was just people saying, look, you're always talking about being kind, and this isn't very kind because you're kind of encouraging a pylon. But you know what I will say? And I thought this was quite lovely, actually, because I just asked, you know, every now and again, we'll throw a question out there to Shane and Fred, and they're just like, I don't care. But I said, oh, you saw now that Laura Whitmore was trending on Twitter today. So I kind of filled him in on the story. And you know what he said, which I just think says so much about Fred Cook, and it really made me fall in love with him a little bit more. He was like, well, you know what I think? I think Laura's just had a baby. And, you know, maybe she should just stay off Twitter for a little bit, because I can just imagine, like, she's probably, I can only imagine, like, her hormones are probably all over the place. And he said, he was like, I just think it would be better for her maybe to stay off it and just mind herself, because it's so easy to get into arguments with people on Twitter and things to be misconstrued on Twitter, and for you to say something on Twitter and people to take it out of context, or to react in a way that you didn't think they were going to react, or for you to put something up and not actually anticipate how it's going to be received or actually the consequences of it. But he was like, do you know what? She has just had a baby. I think she should just like give herself a break from this. And I was like, actually, that is a really, I just thought it was a lovely point from Fred. Like, I mean, I hope now that it doesn't come across patronizing to Laura, but actually having had a baby, I was like, yeah, the last thing you kind of need to be on is Twitter when you have had a baby, because you are a bit all over the place. And yeah. I'm not totally excusing what she did put up, because I think we all agreed, like, seriously, what were you thinking? Like, this is not going to go down well, and it didn't go down well. But yeah, just take a step back, I think, for the moment. And actually, her tweet now yesterday kind of, I know she's doubling down on it, but like, I think she would have been better off saying, look, maybe I shouldn't have named the journalist, but I was just annoyed. Did she say anything about naming the journalist in question? No.
No, she didn't say anything about that.
You see, but if she said that, I think everyone would be like, wow, yeah, fair enough. Like, okay,
I know,
because like, that was the main thing that people, hello there,
hello,
I'm guessing Tammy,
I can't even see, hello, are you coming in?
I'm just trying to
Yeah, come on in. I'm doing the podcast with Julie. Do you want to say
hello? Hello there.
Come on. Come over to me. Are you coming in?
I just wanted to tell you something.
Yeah, okay.
I thought this cut healed, but it didn't.
Oh. We'll just look after it, I suppose, yeah? You close the door for me.
Do you know what? I'm really, really enjoying Tommy's contributions to this podcast. What, should we invite him onto the Patreon? Is that where is going?
I think it's the live episode, yeah. I know, like, I totally get that she's just had a baby. And yeah, I just don't need...
Look, I don't think it did her
any... This feels like a control thing, which I can totally understand. And you want to control every, you know, you want to control everything. And like if you were planning to kind of announce the name yourself and then you got this mail, yeah, you would be pissed off. But I think, I don't know if all of that needs to be directed at that one journalist.
No, I mean, the reaction was excessive.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah. And a lot of people did point out, you know, that, which I had forgotten actually until people said it, but that she did, obviously she has done journalism in college. She did start off as kind of like a showbiz reporter. So, I mean, that, like, and I had forgotten that. I think that if that's your starting point, you do need to be careful in terms of naming and shaming and describing people as vile and using that kind of language. Because ultimately, we are talking about, not to make it all gendered, but we're talking about a woman in a male-dominated profession who is trying to do her job. And I actually thought the email, in terms of the tone of it, was actually so you would know a woman wrote that email, because I felt it was framed as politely as it could possibly be when you're asking for something that realistically people are going to be like, would you ever feck off? But of like, even though that was probably going to be the response, I felt it was framed as politely as possible. I think we all cringed a bit. I don't think it was a good day at the office. I don't think doubling down is helpful.
We all know where it came from, and we all cringed, and we all get, you know, we all get that you just had a baby, but we still all cringed. And
but I mean, a backfire, hashtag backfire. I'm sure she did not anticipate it being taken that way. And I did laugh.
The media has been a huge part of her career. Like, you know, obviously she's a TV presenter and a radio presenter. And, you know, I'm sure she's lovely to work with and very good at her job. But like, the media have played a huge part in her career. Of getting her photograph in the paper. And, you know, it's like, even I was thinking of somebody like, say, Davina McCall, who would have been like a kind of a Laura Whitmore character before Laura Whitmore was on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, say, doing a show.
Yes, I agree. Yeah.
Like celebrity, like Big Brother, and then celebrity Big Brother. And
you're, you know, spun kind on. Of similar shows, trajectory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's had 3 children, and I couldn't tell you what any of her children look like. I couldn't tell you what any of their names are. She's also gone through a divorce in the public eye.
Yeah.
And seems to manage that very well.
Yeah.
You know, and
Angela Scanlon was another one I thought of in terms of like her child. I think she does it really well, because you know you're always a bit torn, because obviously your child is such a big part of your life.
Yeah.
But then you absolutely don't want to be overexposing your child either. Like, and it's something that I'm really conscious of. But somebody relatively recently said, oh, you never put up anything about Ted, like somebody in my life. So then I actually did put up a couple of bits on him. But ultimately, you don't really want to be sharing too much, because like you totally get that kind of thing of, oh, but like that's me baba. And like you don't want to be. Yeah. You know, it's a tough one in terms of navigating it. It's tricky, but it's funny now, because this whole Laura Whitmore thing, and I don't want to be like pitting, you know, Irish women against Irish women or anything, but I just thought of Angela Scanlon this week, because I feel she does that really well, that you totally get that she is like a mother, and obviously how central that is to her life and in terms of how she identifies herself, but yet she kind of very much like keeps that part for like very private as well. I think
there's
just
a way of telling people to fuck off, really, isn't there?
It just wasn't, it wasn't very, the way she did it wasn't particularly well done. And I think it's a shame that she doubled down on it because if she came out yesterday and said, you know what, I probably shouldn't have named her, but I was just pissed off, and this is why I was pissed off, people were like, yeah, grand. But I just laugh because I did have a moment there on Sunday when all of this was kind of blowing up on Twitter. And I said, I can just imagine her turning to Ian in the same way I turned to Fred and say, do you think that's okay to put on Twitter? And they're kind of only half looking. They're like, yeah, grand. Are you sure? Like, could that be misinterpreted? No, yeah, you're fine. Like, the moral of the story is, sorry, you need an Emma Doran in your life. You shouldn't be turning to your life partner asking, should I put this on Twitter?
No. Look, I mean, it does sound like a bit of a Chinese water torture thing. Like, I mean, even if you saw that, you're like, Jesus, like, there has to be more to this than just somebody saying, what's the name of the baby? Thanks, bye. You're like, really? What? But,
On a separate note, I do love the name Stevie for a girl. It's pretty nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a nice name, yeah. It's a good one because it's kind of different, but it's not like off the wall. Mad.
It's not off the wall. Now, no. Did you hear an exciting news? Actually, it was the top of the 6-1 news this evening, so I don't know if you're watching it, but no. Ben Affleck is back hanging out with J-Lo.
What?
Yeah, they're both, well, now listen, here's what I think, and I genuinely do believe this. Apparently, because of course they're both single now, but apparently they've always been friends, which I would well believe, because actually Jennifer Lopez seems to be one of these, she's a unique human being in that she remains friends with her exes, which to me is just like insane, but like absolutely commend her for it. So I think that they are just hanging out as mates. That's what they're saying, and that is what I believe. But then I went down a bit of a Ben Affleck rabbit hole today, and I found this story, which actually only appeared today, because I suppose he is back in the news, like being seen leaving and arriving at J-Lo's gaff, etc. Ben Affleck sent a video to a woman who unmatched with him on dating app Raya. According to Mark, did you see this?
I saw it on Twitter, yeah. So I saw it on TikTok, sorry.
You saw it on TikTok. I'll just read it out for the people who are unfamiliar because it's very short. A woman on TikTok went viral after she said Ben Affleck sent her an Instagram DM asking why she unmatched with him on a dating app. The woman, Navine J, no relation, thanks for asking, said she and Affleck matched on Raya, an exclusive dating app known for its celebrity users. J, an actress and a model, recorded herself looking regretful and added a text that said, thinking of the time I matched up Ben Affleck and Ray and thought it was fake, so I unmatched him and he sent me a video on Instagram. And then the video cuts to Ben Affleck saying, Navine, why did you unmatch me? It's me. So she posted this on Sunday and obviously it's gone viral, etc. on TikTok. I mean, I have to say, I just felt, I mean, it's so cringe. Like, this is now, like, obviously this is just an episode of cringe upon cringe, yeah. But I mean, it's pretty fucking cringe. Like, honestly, the way
it's
he sent
bad.
It to me, I mean,
I'm such a Ben. I know for a fact I've been in those situations where I've been working somewhere and somebody has come in and been very nice to me. And we've had a little chat and they've left. I'm like, oh my God, is he gonna come back in and ask me out? Like, do you know what I mean? And then every time they come in, I'm just
he's
definitely gonna ask me out now. He was like talking about the weather far too much at me. Like, this is about to kick off. I've already imagined the whole relationship. I would definitely be on Ben's side with this. That's totally something I would do. I would get totally into it.
It's like when you get chatting to someone and exactly that I meant that you just get chatting to someone in a reasonably corporate work environment. And then they say something within the first couple of minutes like, oh, yeah, I'm actually from New Zealand. You think to yourself, I could live in New Zealand. And this is just water cooler chat. But you have already imagined your life. Living in Queenstown. It's happening. No, I do. I totally get it. And like, look, Ben, we've all been there. We've all embarrassed ourselves on the dating apps.
This is off the back of a pandemic, like.
Dry spell. Even if you're Ben Affleck, do you think you'd have a dry spell?
I mean, he's got to, because he has kids and he shares custody. So his weekends are pretty much taken up.
That is true. And there is a lot of church on Sundays, isn't there? Church as a family.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah, that'd be a tough one.
Don't get me wrong. I still don't like Ben Affleck. Like,
what? Really? Are you not a Ben fan?
No.
Oh,
I don't trust him as far as I can show him at all.
Oh, listen, I identify with people.
He's the type when you'd say to him, can you ring me a cab? Because I actually have to go. And then you're like an hour later, and you're like, Jesus, what has taken that fucking taxi so long? And he's like, oh, I never rang it. And he thinks it's real romantic. And you're like, I'm in work at 7, you prick. Like, I need to go. It's fucking 4:30. I think he's one of them.
No, like, I mean, definitely, like, I say I like Ben Affleck, but I think everyone does need to remember, if you're just checking into Up to 90 for the first time, let me fill you in. I identify with people who watched Teen Mom and watched Janelle's storyline and said, yeah, I really fancy Kiefer. Like, that's where I'm coming from. Do you know what I mean? So look, we're all bringing our own baggage to the situation. And like, he's like, again, it comes back to Laura Whitmore's response to this, you know, polite, cheeky, but polite email. It's problematic. He is problematic. Of course, you know, nobody fancies going to church on the Sunday with three kids and the ex-wife, especially when the ex-wife is Jennifer Garner. And, you know, Jennifer is due, let's face it, she's a tough one to give out about, Jennifer. You know, like, as ex-wives go, like, oh, my ex-wife is such a bitch. You know, she really supported me when I had all those issues with alcohol. And you're like, yeah, I know. Like, it just... Unfortunately, Jennifer is the opposite of problematic. She's unproblematic, which probably makes dating a little bit difficult, I can imagine. But I quite like Ben. I do.
No, I don't dislike him. I mean, if he was my cousin or something, really? I'd be like, oh, yeah, no, Ben sound like he's...
Well, he'd be the type that I can imagine having him as a male friend and always have that bit of grow. But then if my single female friends are like, what's the deal with Ben? I'd be like, oh, look, just don't even go there.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Yeah, just look, forget about it.
He's funny. I find him always very, he's always very underwhelming on Graham Norton. Do you know the way he's done it a few times?
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. And he's,
well, like, underwhelming, yeah, but... I don't know. He's, you know.
So you have the fucking trance lights on again here now. What's going on?
Hang on. I never see this coming. Talk amongst yourselves.
No, I don't dislike Ben, but like, I wouldn't want to match him.
Here's the question. Okay. Do you think Ben and Jennifer are just friends? Because I think they are just mates having the chance. What do you think? You're a little bit psychic, Emma, so fill me in. What's going on?
Which one of them has got a project coming soon?
Do any of them have anything in the pipeline? I don't know. I'm still raging that Jennifer Lopez didn't get the Oscar nod for Hustlers.
I just think that Jennifer is too savvy and all the rest of it to be caught meeting up with Ben casual if it isn't for a reason. Like, she's mates with all her exes. She throws them a fucking text at Christmas. Like, let's just be fucking real about this.
I love, do you remember,
she's hardly meeting up with them all once a month for brunch. Fuck off. She's enough going on in her life.
Do you know what, she's got the brunch, kids, I love all the exes.
She's got
at brunch.
The ex, she's got the fucking workout regime, she's got the fucking olive oil on the skin, she's got the whole shebang. My love don't cut a thing. She's like learning all them fucking dance.
You know,
routines.
At least
she's far too busy.
Yeah. Well, that, look,
we know about that for a reason.
You know, anytime I have just a little moment to myself, you know, the words I say on repeat, Fred's always laughing at me. Ain't that funny? I know we do that all the time, all day long. Yeah, look, Jennifer is too savvy for this shit, for sure. I do think kind of just made. Speaking of Jennifer, do you remember when she was on James Corden and she prank texted Leonardo DiCaprio? Were we buying no. that? That must have been a setup.
What did she prank?
It must have been a setup because text. It was so what you would expect of Leo DiCaprio that like it had to be a setup. So she prank texted him. Hang on, I'm gonna find it here now. Oh yeah. So James Corden texted him, "Hey Leo, I've got to get out of my head and cut loose." And then he responded with "You mean tonight, boo boo, club wise?" But I mean, obviously that had to be a setup, surely.
Boo boo.
Boo boo. I know, but like again, would you expect anything less from Leonardo DiCaprio? No. But in terms of Ben Affleck, no, he is a bit underwhelming. Like, do you remember now when he was on, and he was on with them, Ryan Gosling and maybe, was it Emily Blunt? But they were doing their Oscar stories. Oh, that was it, because it actually was a fun fact that Graham Norton had said they'd all brought their parents to the Oscars.
Okay, yeah.
And then, you know, but Ben gave kind of a mildly amusing anecdote where they put up the picture of Matt Damon and himself and their mothers. And he said, yeah, we took our mothers to the Oscars. And do you remember at the time, because he referenced that, and obviously we all laughed, Ben, we all laughed. But he was saying, oh, this did nothing to help like the rumors around her sexuality at the time. And it did look kind of funny because he's there with Matt Damon and like,
yeah.
Moms or whatever. And then, but like, you're kind of like, nah. But then of course, Ryan Gosling had the story about like his mom got a beehive. And do you remember he was saying it was really high and Rachel Weisz was behind and she kept having to like look around like his mother's head. And Meryl Streep was there. And he said, I did not know Meryl, but obviously my mother was a big fan. So I said to Meryl, would you mind, my mom got her hair done, would you mind just telling her hair looks really good? And then at the break, Mary was like, you know, I was going to get a beehive. I love your hair. And I just, like, Ryan, he...
You know, I remember that. I don't remember Ben Affleck. That's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I mean. That, like, Ben is, he is slightly underwhelming, but he's super attractive. Come on, Emma. The worst Batman ever. The worst Batman ever, for sure. Not great at telling stories.
No. I think maybe dubious
back tattoos.
I think if I'm going to be, you know, completely truthful with it, the real thing that's going on here, it's not because I need more from somebody. I'm just not attracted to him in the slightest. He's of really? No interest.
Oh God, I think now
no interest.
I thought you'd think he. I was thinking now Emma's going to think he's big righty pants as well.
No, snooze fest.
Okay, right. Okay, you go. I was gonna ask something else, but it's not relevant to the bet. Yeah, go for it. Jump in.
Can I tell you about a movie I watched?
Of course. Always.
Okay, it's actually current. I watched Promising Young Woman.
Okay. I've heard of this one. Who's in this one now again?
Who is in this one? What's her name? Give me one second now. I know her name, but I just don't want to get it wrong. So, yes. Well, Pacey from Dawson's Creek is in it. You've probably seen him in the trailer.
Joshua Jackson. The reason I did arts in Trinity was because of an urban myth that Joshua Jackson was doing arts in Trinity.
I know. I remember you saying this. And,
he's in this movie. I fucking love Joshua Jackson.
Yeah. So, sorry. Carey Mulligan.
Oh yeah, so is it Carey Mulligan or Carrie?
Carrie, I suppose. So she is, basically the story is that when she was in college, her friend was raped, and her friend has since died, and she's kind of out to get revenge. Okay. So this is
like a rom-com?
It's a rom-com. No, it's like it's meant to be like dark comedy thriller. No, it's meant to be dark comedy. And it's just been nominated for an Oscar for best whatever screenplay or whatever. It's actually not great.
Yeah,
and everyone says it's deadly. And you know what it is? I think like basically the trailer makes you think that it's a completely different movie to what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, there's something really off about it. Like, because me, Ella and Shane watched afterwards, we were saying, like, you know, I May Destroy You, which tackles exactly the same subjects, but just does it in a much better way.
Okay.
And really leaves you think, like, it just...
Well, I
like, I'm just saying, of something that was made recently that tackles, like, similar issues and just does it, like, a million times better. First of all, like, the whole thing starts off with, and you'll see it in the trailer, right, that she goes to nightclubs and she pretends to be hammered by herself and waits for a man to approach her who kind of the guise of, like, oh, I'm a nice guy, he's going to help you
Ben Affleck,
home.
Yeah, like, I didn't pause her.
But the problem is, like, I don't know about you, but never once is she in a club and a woman comes up to her. Like, how many times have you been in a club hammered or seen a girl hammered in a club?
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of the time, it's like, how many times have you been out with your mates where you've brought a girl in the taxi with you because she's lost and she's hammered and she can't find her friend?
Oh, yeah. I mean, all the time.
You've ended up making friends with a whole load of girls that end up looking after you and making sure that you get home okay. And they were like,
I'm that girl. It's happened a lot.
It just didn't feel like that was realistic anyway, that whole part of it, because I was like, and then what she does is she waits till she gets home to the house. And then she, like, within, like, you know, a click, she's completely sober and she starts to confront them. And says, like, well, yeah, maybe you'll think twice before fucking doing this again. And not once do any of these sly fucks, like, become pissed off or aggressive or even, like, violent with her.
They're just, like, fair enough.
They're just freaked out. They're like, oh, my God, you're some sort of fucking wizard. Like, they're just, like, can't fucking even get their heads around it. Whereas I think, like, that was a pretty fucking risky thing. So this guy was willing to take this girl who could barely stand back to his apartment or wherever he lived. And now she switches it on him. So he's been scammed. He's not going to have sex now. And he's being told that he's a fucking creep. I think some of these people might react quite fucking badly to this. Do you know what I mean? Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not a psychologist, but yes.
I don't know if you...
No, and like, I'm going to say...
I think any of us who told somebody drunk and fucking pushy that they're not getting sex and that they're a creep don't tend to react well.
No. I do think, I mean, as you say, anyone who is going off with a girl in that state, let's face it, we're not dealing with the cream of the crop here.
He's not going to fall to his knees and start crying and, like, begging for God to forgive him.
Well, yeah, look, I mean, they're not good guys, these guys, you know. I do feel, even as you describe that situation there, it's kind of giving me the heebie-jeebies just thinking about that type of fella who's just hanging around and just not, he's not up to any good at all. Kind of reminds me, I don't know how it popped into my head, but you remember Eddie Murphy when he used the excuse, do you remember he was caught with a sex worker, I think a transgender sex worker, a transvestite sex worker, I think. And he said that he was going around helping these people late at night. Like, that's what he was doing. Like, he was.
Yeah.
And it's just, come on. I mean, really, philanthropy, that's what you're up to, Eddie. So, no, I can't imagine the type of male you're describing. I don't think, if that's how they're making out, that's how he would respond to that. It doesn't strike me as very realistic.
Like, don't get me wrong, parts of it were good, but
I'm going to say something controversial. Has Carey Mulligan, who seems like a perfectly nice person, married to one of the Mumford and Sons, has she ever been in a good movie? In all honesty, has she?
I don't know. She's usually, like, in big costumes, isn't she? And Pesci.
Yeah, it's just always like arguing with the man in suspenders, isn't it?
I thought it was going to be better. It's not great. She works in a coffee shop, so there's all these weird bits that it feels like it's fucking scenes that didn't make the cut in Friends. It just doesn't fucking make any sense at all.
Like, I honestly, I just think with Carrie, I feel like any, even Education, do you remember that one? I don't know if you saw that one, she was in it. I was like, oh my god, it's amazing, blah blah blah, it's this, that, or whatever. I find, just again, it's always been underwhelming. I know this is an episode of underwhelming and cringe, but like, it's always been underwhelming, I feel, the movies with Carrie. I'd find it
even the whole story, even the basis of the story doesn't make any fucking sense. So she meets this guy, right, that she went to college with. He recognizes her straight away. She doesn't recognize him. It's her fucking best mate who all this scandal went down with in college. They were thick as thieves. She goes to meet the fucking mom at one stage and is talking about whatever happened at some teenage birthday. So they've been friends for fucking years, even before college. Everyone knows that these two are friends. He fucking recognizes her. She doesn't know who the fuck he is. And yet the story of her best friend and the rape never comes up between them. And he never questions that maybe she might have a bit of a fucking, you know, issue about this, or have a different memory from him about how it all went down. She's fucking obsessed about this since it happened. Okay, grand. But like, there's a big, huge part of it that she only finds out fucking now. Like, what is it? Fucking 7 years later. She drops out of college. She's working in a coffee shop. She's going out to nightclubs every night of the week to do this sting operation.
I was working in a coffee shop.
She only starts to think about the people who were actually present at the fucking thing now.
Yeah.
After this many years. None of it makes any sense.
And you see, the problem is that once you're out, you're out. Do you know, if you can't believe it, you're not going to like it as a movie, because there has to be some element of credulity to it.
Oh, I knew there was, even from the trailer, I knew there was going to be bits that were going to be a bit like far-fetched. Yeah. And I was ready for that, and I was actually, you know, I was like, the whole part about the revenge, I'm like, yeah, bring it on, let's have
that's Emma Thorne all over.
Let's have some far-fetched revenge. I want to see petrol cans. I want to see, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to see big,
like,
shit.
You want to see R.I.P. Lisa Left Eye Lopez. You want to see that level of revenge, burning the house down. Yeah,
that's what I thought was going to happen. That's what I was waiting for. It's just, it's
no,
not
and
great.
I think I would,
and everyone thinks it's deadly, so I feel like bad because everyone thinks it's fucking deadly, but like, it's not.
No, well,
if
I
you
even
haven't watched
you... No,
I May Destroy You, watch that instead.
Okay, where can 100%. We watch these actually?
I may, you'll have to dodgy.
Okay.
Did you, BBC Player, I'd say.
Yeah. No, I do think, because even as you were describing it there, and I would, listener, get in touch. If you know a good film with Carey Mulligan in it, please get in touch. Really like her as a person, seems very likable, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I just don't know if she's been in anything good.
I didn't see Education, or I haven't seen these things where she's having arguments with men wearing suspenders. So I wasn't going into it. I wasn't going into it with any negative pre.
Sometimes I think with Carey, is she a good actress, or does she just have like short hair? You know, like I often find, like when they have the shorter hair, it's like, my God, she's a quirky actress. It's like, is she, or does she just have short hair?
This is it, you see. You don't know. The two people, the best performances in it for me is, you remember your man McLovin from whatever that movie was where he has the fake ID? He's in it. And he's very good.
What
he's
does
actually,
he look like there? Does he have the same
exact
head?
Same. He looks
okay,
exactly the same.
Interesting.
And Alison Brie is good in it as well. Like, she plays this kind of preppy kind of keeping up appearances kind of character, and she plays that very well. So I think she's very good in it, and I think McLovin, like, he's a small part in it, but he's like good.
Okay. Oh. I'd be interested to see what McLovin's up to, but no, you haven't sold him.
It's like six different films fucking wedged together. It's just bizarre.
I mean, as you say it now, it kind of reminds me of this film, this Spanish film, and would you believe it was the last film I saw before we went into lockdown, because I went to see it. I really enjoy going to the cinema on my own, so much so that when I lived with my housemates, we would hear of films and say, yeah, we must go to that together. And then I would say, I'm just going to the shop to get some milk. And I would go into the lighthouse and just go and watch it on my own, because I just really enjoy watching movies on my own. It's such a pleasure. It was always like a little treat to me. But the last film that I saw on my own was End of the Century, was the name of it. I think a Spanish, or was it? Yeah, it was a Spanish film. But these two guys, so it was essentially like a love story. But for me, I had heard such great things about this film, and everyone said, oh my God, it's like effectively like Call Me By Your Name. It's, you know, it's just amazing. It's like Call Me By Your Name meets Moonlight, and it's fantastic, and it's this, that, or whatever. But the entire premise centered around, supposedly these two men meet, I think, where do they meet? Barcelona. They meet in Barcelona. And we're expected to believe that they had a dalliance 20 years ago, and they only realized towards the end of the day that they actually had a dalliance 20 years ago. Like, sorry, but no. Like, they just have this moment when they're like sharing a baguette, sitting on top of a castle, admiring the sunset, and they put two and two together and realize, oh my God, we were actually together 20 years ago. I mean, come on.
It's stupid, really, because when you first meet somebody new, obviously you're going to go through the common ground you have with each other.
Yeah, no, I wasn't buying it. And actually, it's funny, because at that stage, we were all saying things like, those poor people in China, like, they can't leave their houses. Did you hear about this? They're just in their gaffs all of the time.
Sounds like a China problem to me.
Those poor people over there. Anyway,
they're mad for wearing masks.
But it was funny, because it's such an evocative memory to me, because I just remember sitting there on my own. Mm. And I think it was just that week now where people were starting to get a bit nervous. And there was a guy beside me who was coughing. And it was the first time that I thought, Julie, maybe you should like leave this cinema. Like, maybe this is not such a good idea. But that was my first real moment of experiencing. It was very much, I think Rod Farrelly said that about, like, he put up a thing saying, oh my God, this day a year ago, a couple of months ago, he drew up a thing on Twitter saying, this day a year ago, Neil Denimir, when I was supporting him, said to me, you know, this thing from China takes off, we could be in trouble. And I was like, no, we'll be grand. But it was that thing of, oh, this guy coughing, okay, maybe this actually isn't so far away. It was the first time I felt nervous about what was to come. And then a few days later, we were in lockdown. But no, I mean, no more than that, that film was such a disappointment. I was really excited about it. And I just said, here, come on. It took you till baguette time to realize, actually, sorry, did we shift in the mid-90s? Like, please. Although, to be fair, maybe I wouldn't remember people I shifted in the mid-90s either. I don't know. Look, who's to say? Yeah. No judgment.
If you got to the stage of sharing a baguette, you'd think you'd have tried it before then, wouldn't you?
The way they just ripped that baguette. We won't get into, you know, the Dave Fanning reviews. They need to bring that show back, by the way. Do you remember Dave Fanning in the movies? Like, come ever since then, I am at sea. I don't know what movie to go to see, because I don't know what Dave Fanning thinks about it. So we need to get Dave Fanning back on the TV and telling us what we should see. But I did watch Mayor of Easttown, starring this up-and-coming actress called Kate Winslet. And I have to say, have you watched it, Ems?
No, what's it called again?
So it's called Mayor of Easttown. And essentially, Kate Winslet plays this detective who, like, the usual yada, yada, yada stuff, in the sense that on paper, it's very much like we've seen it before. Mm. But it, like, I mean, that's not to take from it, because it is actually very, it's very well executed. But, you know, when I say the usual story, like, the detective whose personal life is in chaos, and simultaneously she's trying to solve the biggest case of her career whilst maintaining the balance between work life and home life and blah blah blah. Now,
cold pizza alert.
Kate Winslet is absolutely amazing. Obviously, long-term fan of Kate Winslet. And, you know, I do think justice for Kate, because in the immediate aftermath of Titanic, a lot of people were saying there was a little bit of leg room on that raft. I think we'd all agree, like, that is not true. Okay, can we just get it out there now? Can we just clear this one up? Like, no, sorry. Like, they would have all, like, they would have sank. So she made her choice, and I completely support her in that. So, you know, let's just leave that where it is. But she is great, you know, and it's the usual thing of she's walking around with a limp, she's wearing a check shirt. It's like, we get it, you know, she's tough. Like, okay, we get it. And I did laugh because I watched it on my own. Now, I do think sometimes, at the risk of sounding a little bit mollycoddled, I just need a bit of a warning that something is going to be extremely depressing. You know, like, I just need that warning because, guys, I will say I watched the first episode, and I think because there's a baby in it as well that has red hair, and obviously, you know, having Ted, I just found it very affecting, very depressing. And I did laugh because I was like, is this just me? Because people had told me you need to watch this, it's great. And I just wasn't feeling well after it. I was like, this is just so grim. And then I saw Marion Keyes, who we all fucking love. She put up the funniest tweet then. She said, sweet Jesus, I've just watched the first episode of Mayor of Easttown and now I want to hang myself. It's the most depressing thing I've ever seen. It's like,
so she was willing to say it. She was going to say it.
And do you know what? I was like, I kind of felt much better because, you know, when you watch something, Emma, and you're like, is this me? Am I the one now?
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. Yeah, if everyone's not like, into it and you're like,
Then when she said this, she was like, I'm like, this actually did make me want to hang myself. And I did feel so.
Is she okay or what's the crack?
I think she's tweeted since. So I'm presuming this was just an empty threat.
Yeah. Okay. God, get people
an empty threat. Not like a few people after our live episode the other night, which was great crack. A few people did send me a few tech links to support lines after some of our Emma's like, tell that other bit. You know, like the bit you might have told your mate, like over teary Eddie Rockets, and like ever since strawberry milkshakes just taste come of tears. On. I was like, tell that bit. And meanwhile, I'm over here. It's a comedy podcast.
But it was hanging. Keeping it fluffy.
I know. A few stories. You know, you were on fire with the crack.
I thought you wanted me to egg you on because I think it's the kind of story that you need to be egged on to tell. Because if you tell it yourself just outright, it's like, Jesus.
Whereas
if someone's egging you on, it's a bit, you know, it's a bit.
I think it was one of those.
I think we all would have been like,
there were a couple of the stories, and you know, like when you're saying them to your mate, and we're all having a bit of a giggle, but you realize then when you're telling 55 people, and you just see some of the faces, and some people look quite sad, you're like, oh. Is this one for the comedy podcast? I'm not sure. But no, so I was relieved that Marion Keyes had that reaction to, because I actually went down and woke up Fred. And I was like, Fred. I was like, I've just watched this thing. I can't tell you how sad it's after making me feel. But probably testament to the characters in it that I was so affected.
That's true.
But
yeah,
of course I went back to watch the second episode. I will say that the second episode, I kind of was a bit relieved because definitely the sucker punch is the first episode. And I did feel a little bit safer in the next episode. But no, I mean, like, it's hard. It's like, how do you define whether something's good or bad? Like, obviously going back to watch it is a positive, but at the same time, I do think in the current climate as well, I just don't know if we need something that oppressive. I mean, it's brilliant, it's fantastic art, blah 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 blah, but you know, just at the moment I'm like, I just need a bit of Real Housewives, I just need a bit of bubblegum.
Yeah, I hear you.
The 11th of December, myself and Fred are getting married, by the way. We're doing just family. Yeah, so we're going to do Benner's Hotel and Pointed. Dingle, hopefully. Yeah, so I will...
Pointed comment there, lads.
I will let you know. And obviously, Niamh, get in touch. I'm an open book. You can have all the deeds for me. Will I go through just the people who joined our lovely Patreon during the week?
Yes, and then you can go through, where is your wedding list going to be?
Oh, well... Yeah, do you know what? I'm going to be paid now. The listener of the week, yeah, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? The listener of the week that week, December the 11th, will obviously be giving me away at the wedding. So that's the prize that week. Can Tara and Sinead get in touch as well? Because I had to take down last week's episode. I was a bit too raw. Thank you to everyone who sent the lovely messages. And do you know what? I was grand. I just needed a good old vent. Do you know that kind of way?
It's still on Patreon, isn't it?
It's still on the page.
Oh, it is, yeah.
Yeah, because a few people got in touch, so it's still up there. And you see, that's what we love about the Patreon, because we always say this, it does just feel a bit safer, doesn't it? That, like, you can kind of spill your guts, and it's like the Patreon, which is great.
Yeah.
So it's not as, you know, up for public consumption or whatever. But I was all grand. I just needed an event. A lot of people saying, Emma, you were absolutely amazing, and you're such a good friend, and, like, you should be a counsellor and all that kind of crack, which I think is kind of a bit of a dig at me when somebody says Emma should be a counsellor. You're like, whoa, okay.
Well, look,
it's
very easy to be rational when it's not your fucking life. Isn't that it?
Yeah. And I needed a couple of days of watching Mayor of Easttown, having a pity party, and then I was back on it. And you know, applying for the jobs and this, that, or whatever. And boom, you know, when you're in the zone, you're firing them out left, right, and center. Yeah. And now, okay, yes. So, Patreon. Oh, before I go through the list, can Tara and Sinead, who I know we took down the episode then last week, I was saying the book club was a huge success. Loved the book club. Highlight of my month every month. This month, we're doing on the 28th, Corpsing by Sophie White. He was going to be appearing because Sophie's so sound. Thank you to Aoife, who told me that Sophie had offered to appear at book clubs or whatever. So I got on to Sophie, and Aoife pointed me in her direction for that.
That's deadly.
Yeah, thank you so much, Aoife. And Sophie, what an absolute sounder. She said she was going to come on for a 20-minute Q&A. So she's going to do that for us on the 28th of May. And obviously, it's like an amazing book, Corpsing. So do join if you haven't joined before. It's going to be great. And Tara and Sinead. So again, Tara had a drop the mic interesting fact at the last book club. If you can send me your address, Tara, you're getting a little code for Listener of the Week. And Sinead also explained to me what the book was about last week. So if you can send me your address as well, Sinead, that'll be deadly. And our new patrons, we have Keir, we have Siobhan, we have Breda, we have Hannah, we have Sarah, we have Aoife, we have Katie, we have Jane, we have Lauren, we have Sheila, we have Paula, we have Claire, we have Abby, we have Roisin, we have Therese, we have Rachel, and we have Emma, Louise, and Ali. Thank you so much, guys. We had a great week for the Patreon. I think it was probably our best ever week for the Patreon, and we really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, Emma Louise. I'm an Emma Louise.
You are an Emma Louise.
Hey, Emma Louise. I think most Emmas are Emma Louises.
And I'm a Julianne. There's a lot of Julianne's floating around as well.
Yeah.
Not to make it all about me, but anyway, just did. It's an absolute pleasure. And look, you know, if the comedy doesn't work, counselling.
Yeah, I think I'd be all right at that.
I think you'd be an amazing counsellor, Emma, honestly. I
know. I'd go back to college, though, wouldn't I?
I know, because you'd be arsed. You know, I've gotten on to people now this week, and they're like, they mentioned something about a course, and I'm like, you either want me or you don't. Just to say that, you either want me or you don't. It's been an absolute pleasure. I'm going to go off now. My new porn this week is Cheap Irish Houses, or as I like to call it, Roscommon Homes.
Nothing wrong with that.
Well, I said to you last week, didn't I? I was like, I'm half thinking about it now, guys. Half thinking about it. Fred would only love to be back in Leitrim. And sure, Roscommon's only really a suburb of Leitrim. Oh, controversial. I have to edit that out before Roscommon comes after me. Love you, Emma.
Love you too. thanks for the invite to the wedding.
Yeah, but look, sorry, you're going to be the celebrant. What are you talking about?
Yeah, shit, I'll have to get into that. Oh, sounds like a course. Nyeh, nyeh.
About 5 grand
to do that, you know that?
I know, but it's money in the bank, Emma. It is money in the bank. Actually, if you are looking for somebody to be a celebrant, our old friend Ruth, oh, the second name escapes me now. What's lovely Ruth?
Ruth Hunter?
No, lovely Ruth, Radio Ruth.
Radio,
you know who I'm talking about?
I don't.
Off, I'll edit that bit out. You know, Ruth.
No, but I don't. I'm not even being smarter.
Or is it some? It's Ruth, isn't it? Do you know who? You know, she used to always be on the radio when we were younger. She's maybe married to Dermot Morgan's son.
Oh, I do. Ruth Scott.
Ruth Scott.
Yes. So I didn't know who the fuck you were talking about. Radio.
Hang on, I'm just going to throw that in because I love Ruth. Ruth Scott is a humanist minister. If you're ever looking for someone to do your weddings, she'd be deadly.
Yeah, she'd be good. I think she'd have the right mix of like professional, but the light and the funnies and stuff.
I mean, you'd be just doing your Ricker Street set. Let's face it.
Yeah.
You'd be my wedding will be in practice for your Vicar Street show. And everyone would be coming up saying, Emma, well done. That was fantastic. I'm like, but it's my day. Okay. And look,
I'm gonna turn up. I'm gonna turn up dressed in a big white dress.
Oh my God,
I'm gonna basically manipulate Fred into thinking that this is gonna be a surprise that you want. And then I'm gonna turn up in a big white dress, totally over the top, the hair, makeup, everything professionally.
Beehive.
Done.
Like, yeah. Mammy Gosling.
And make a big long speech that I've gotten like people to help me write, which is just gonna be the funniest fucking thing ever. And just to piss you off.
You'd get Carol Spain on board.
Of course I would.
And Simon O'Keefe, who's another brilliant. Simon's just like boom, boom, boom. Yeah.
Yeah.
People would be crying laughing. And then my dad would say things like, he'd probably say at the end, she looked beautiful, didn't she? And then my mother, because mom and dad, they're always like so amazed by like other people's beauties. And mom would be like, her colouring. Our dad would just, you know, I'd just be over it and I'd be saying to Fred, do you think it was the Emma show? But like, no, like a lot of people are talking about you as well and saying, because it was my wedding, Fred, like it was supposed to be my, no, like I don't think people even noticed Emma was doing the wedding. And then dad would just say something in the car on the way home. She's got amazing eyes, doesn't she?
Yeah, you're selling it to me even more now. I can't wait for this.
I've never seen eyes like them.
Thanks for giving me something to look forward to.
And you know what would be funny? Because Fred, you could easily just throw Fred a DM and this could be a big surprise for me.
Yeah, totally.
And Fred is just so like, you'd be like, yeah, she'd love that. You could send anything to Fred, like anything at all. You're like, here's what I'm thinking, Fred. I'm thinking, let's go for the crack. Balaclava, robbing a bank. Let's just see how it goes. It'd be such a funny story.
Yeah.
We'll take the balaclavas off. All the guards be like, oh my God, it's you. Does Tommy really not know who the guests are? We'll have a good laugh. We'll video it. It'll be great. And similarly, you'll DM and say, look, I'm thinking white dress.
Is Tommy getting an invite?
Well, it's going to be just family. So I know, like, well, you know,
let's wait and see.
Let's just wait.
If Tommy Tiernan turns up, I fucking will turn up. I can tell you that now.
I know. And before you know it, for the next season of Tommy, it'll be like, well, Tommy, your next guest is... And my dad will be like, her colouring. Doesn't she have amazing eyes? On that note, I've been Jeannie J.
Oh, I've been Emma Doran. God bless. I did it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.